भगवतो वदनारविन्दम्
सञ्चिन्तयेत्
भगवतो वदनारविन्दम्
यद्विष्पुरमकरकुण्डलवल्लितेन
यद्विष्पुरमकरकुण्डलवल्लितेन
विद्योतितामलकपोलमुदारनाशम्
विद्योतितामलकपोलमुदारनाशम्
विद्यानुकम्पितद्यगृहीतामूर्ते
सञ्चिन्तये भगवतो वदनारविन्दम्
यद्विष्पुरं
मकरकुण्डलवल्लितेन
विद्योतितामलकपोलमुदारनाशम्
ृत्यानुकम्पितार्येहमूर्ते
सञ्चिन्तये
भगवतो वदनारविन्दम्
यद्विष्पुरान्मकरकन्दलवल्लितेन
यद्विष्पुरान्मकरकुण्डलवल्लितेन
Anukampita diya, out of compassion, in this world.
Vihita Murte,
who presents different forms.
Sanchintayet.
One should meditate on
Bhagavataha,
of the personality of Godhead.
Vadana,
countenance.
Aravindam, lotus light.
Yat, which, littering.
Makara,
alligator shape.
Kundala,
of his earrings.
Valgitena,
by the oscillation. Vidyotita,
illuminated.
Amala, crystal clear.
Kapolam,
his teeth.
Dara,
Udara,
prominent.
Nasam,
his nose.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The yogi should then meditate on the lotus-like countenance of the Lord, who presents his different forms in this world out of compassion for the anxious devotees. His nose is prominent and his crystal clear cheeks are illuminated by the oscillation of his glittering alligator-shaped earrings. Purport: The Lord descends to the material world out of his deep compassion for his devotees. There are two reasons for the Lord's appearance or incarnation in the material world. Whenever there is a discrepancy in the discharge of religious principles, and there is prominence of irreligion, the Lord descends for the protection of the devotees and the destruction of the non-devotees. When He appears, His main purpose is to give solace to His devotees. He does not have to come Himself to destroy the demons, for He has many agents. Even the external agency, energy Maya, has sufficient strength to kill them. But when He comes to show compassion to His devotees, He kills the non-devotees as a matter of course. The Lord appears in the particular form, loved by a particular type of devotee. There are millions of forms of the Lord, but they are one absolute. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Ananta Rupam, all the different forms of the Lord are one, but some devotees want to see Him in the form of Radha and Krishna. Others prefer Him as Sita and Ramachandra. Others would see Him as Lakshmi Narayan, and others would want to see Him as four-handed Narayan, Vasudev. The Lord has innumerable forms and He appears as a particular form, in a particular form, as preferred by a particular type of devotee. A yogi is advised to meditate upon the forms that are approved by devotees. A yogi cannot imagine a form for meditation. Those so-called yogis who manufacture a circle or target are engaged in nonsense. Actually, a yogi must meditate upon the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that has been experienced by the Lord's pure devotees. Yogi means devotee. Yogis who are not actually pure devotees should follow in the footsteps of devotees. It is especially mentioned here that the yogi should meditate upon the form which is thus approved. He cannot manufacture a form of the Lord. Om Agyanatinandasya Jnanamayashadaya Chakshuranatanyaya Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stalmitam Tena Karele Swayam Rupa Kanamayam Dadati Swapadantitam Pankaroti Vacharam Pankum Langate Yatkripatramande Shri Guru Nivatarinam Vanchakatpachuryascha Kripasindhu Vrayavascha Patitanam Pavaneyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Devahuti. Many chapters ago, Lord Kapila actually started instructing Devahuti. He gave her some instructions on understanding the material nature, and then the previous chapter was on Kapila's instructions on devotional service, and now he is giving his mother, it's still continuing, the Kapila's chapter on instructions on devotional service. So, we are seeing here that now he is talking about yogis. And how yogis should meditate. In the previous verse also it mentioned how yogis should meditate on the club of the Lord and all that. And in this particular verse, Kapila Dev is mentioning how the yogis should meditate on a particular form of the Lord. So they should not manufacture their own forms. And like Prabhupada said in the purport, that there are some yogis who manufacture a circle or a target, and then they meditate on that. And Prabhupada said that is nonsense. So that is very much prevalent today. Because we are all just surrounded by devotees all the time, we sometimes don't realize that such things actually go on in the outside world. I know of one particular organization where we used to go in our childhood, my parents used to take us. And there they used to take us in one room and they used to ask us, they used to put one light on, one little light on inside one like oval shaped lamp shape. Everything else, all other lights would be off, and then they would ask us to meditate on that light. And that light is the source of all creation. That is what was being preached over there. So many, many, many organizations are there like this in the world. These so-called meditation organizations who ask you to meditate on a bindu, like a dot, or some organizations ask you to meditate on one little light which is there on the world. So all these are actually concocted versions. Prabhupada says it's all nonsense. If yogis are not pure devotees yet, then they should follow in the footsteps of pure devotees. And they should meditate on forms which the pure devotees are approving. And Prabhupada mentions one more aspect of the Lord over here. Prabhupada says that the Lord actually appears in a form, in a particular form which that devotee likes. So some devotee might like to see the Lord in the two-handed Krishna form or Shyam Sundar form. In fact, that is what Krishna himself mentions in the 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, during his instructions to Arjuna. So he had just withdrawn his universal form, because Arjuna tells Krishna that, I'm very scared to look at this universal form. I always thought of you as my friend, but what is this bhayanak root that you're showing me? You please withdraw it immediately. And then Krishna comes to his 400 form first, and then it is mentioned he comes back to his 200 form. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that devotees of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, their aim should always be to meditate on the two-handed Shyam Sundar form of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. They should not divert their attention anywhere. They should not even divert their attention to the Vishnu form or the Narayan form of the Lord. devotees in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, because what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come to teach us? He came to teach us how? The highest love of Radha and Krishna. So that is our goal, to always meditate on the 200 grams in the form of Krishna. But it is very true that there have been devotees who are attracted to different forms. And the Lord is very happy to reciprocate with these devotees. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a big example of an exalted devotee who was not attracted to the 200 Krishna form. And that example is of Murari Gupta. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually tells him that you meditate on the 200 form. He gives it back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I didn't succeed in following your instructions, my Lord. I'm such a big sinner. But for me, in my heart, Lord Ramchandra is established as an irrevocable fact. I cannot stop myself but meditate on the form of Lord Ramchandra. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually embraces Murari Gupta. And he says, I'm very happy that you are actually following that, because you are none other than Hanuman. So if you tell Hanuman to meditate on Krishna, it will be Rasa Bhas, because he is a dear servant of Lord Ramchandra. So, like Prabhupada says over here in the purport, that the Lord is very merciful. So he appears in a particular form which the devotee has requested. And he can appear from anywhere that the devotee requests. And we know this from the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Now who can imagine the Lord appearing from a broken pillar? So it was not that, you know, the Lord is, you know, always hiding there. Of course, that highest tattva is there, that the Lord is there in every atom. But it was because of, it is mentioned by Prabhupada and the Acharyas, that it is because of Prahlad's prayers that the Lord manifested from that pillar. It is only to satisfy, because Prahlad was challenged by his father. And Prahlad's faith in the Lord was being challenged. That if you are saying your Lord is everywhere, is he there in this pillar? And he broke open the pillar thinking that he will actually prove Prahlad Maharaj wrong. But the Lord does not allow his devotees to fail. He does not allow his devotees to actually be defeated by non-devotees or demons. So that is why the Lord appeared from a pillar. So the Lord is very merciful. He reciprocates exactly with the feelings and with the needs of his pure devotees. And he takes different forms in this world when he comes, just to satisfy those needs and those desires. And in the first paragraph, Prabhupada is mentioning that there are two purposes why the Lord appears, and which we have heard many times from the Bhagavad Gita also. Paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya chatushkritam. So paritranaya sadhunam, he appears to actually give solace to his devotees, and vinashaya chatushkritam, he actually appears to even kill the demons. But we have heard that Krishna does not need to appear to kill the demons himself. You know, his energy, Prabhupada says, his external energy, maya, is enough to destroy the demons. And we see that if one tsunami happens, how many millions, thousands of people can actually die? Or one earthquake happens, how many thousands of people can die? So that maya, this external energy, the material nature of the Lord is enough to kill. If there is, you know, a place where there are lots of demoniac activities going on, one earthquake is enough and everyone will be destroyed. But still Krishna appears. Still Krishna appears in response to the prayers of his devotees. And he mainly appears to give solace to them. The killing of the demons is like an incidental activity which he performs while giving protection to his devotees. And in this matter, it is very important we mention the name of Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya was there in this world a little more than 500 years ago. And he was seeing the state of Kali Yuga. What is going on in Kali Yuga? I'm sure if Advaita Acharya was there at this stage, he would have got a heart attack seeing the stage of Kali Yuga right now. But 500 years ago itself, he felt that Kali Yuga has really deteriorated. Especially in Navadvipa, he saw that everyone was getting too much into grammatical debates and, you know, those panditas and all that. It was all becoming very dry. No one was trying to get the essence of devotion into Lord Krishna. So Advaita Acharya saw this deplorable condition of Kali Yuga at that time. And he was loudly praying to the Lord. He was loudly praying to the Lord to descend from Vaikuntha to in this Kali Yuga, to actually give the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to the fallen people, which Advaita Acharya could see around. So in answer, in response to Advaita Acharya's prayers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came down. And in fact, in one pastime, when I don't know if any of you know, Gurijan Prabhu mentions this pastime in his Leela Kirtan. Advaita Acharya was a very elderly Vaishnava. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to always pay obeisances to Advaita Acharya. He used to always give lots of respect to Advaita Acharya. But Advaita Acharya wanted to be actually accepted as a servant of the Lord. he was very uncomfortable that the Lord used to pay obeisances to him. The Lord used to always treat him as a senior Vaishnava and, you know, not allow any services to be taken from Advaita Acharya. He was always eager to render services to Advaita Acharya as a senior Vaishnava. So Advaita Acharya wanted that reversal of role to happen. He wanted to serve the Lord. He did not want to accept service from the Lord. So once Advaita Acharya starts teaching Mayavadi philosophy, and very loudly he was teaching Mayavadi philosophy, and he came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is visiting over there, his area in Shantipur. So when he heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is about to come, he even still loudly started teaching Mayavadi philosophy. Now who is Advaita Acharya? He is Mahavishnu and Sadashiv combined, and he himself was a pure devotee. He made Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descend. So obviously this was a fast time. He was not a propagator of Mayavad philosophy, but he was just doing it as a pastime. So he had his followers sitting over there, and he was loudly preaching Mayavad philosophy. And we know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how his blood used to boil when he used to hear Mayavad philosophy. So as soon as he went close and he heard that his own devotee Advaita Acharya is preaching Mayavad philosophy like that, he actually started beating Advaita Acharya. And he started beating him so much, he started punching him, kicking him, he got so angry. He said, Advaita, I came down to this world because you called me. You know, there is a famous song which Bhakti Charu Maharaj sings, Muhukara Garjanadi. So, you know, by Garjana, by loudly chanting and worshipping Shaligram with Ganga water and Tulsi, you made me appear. I was nicely resting in Vaikuntha. But it is you who made me appear and come down to this Kali Yuga, to this deplorable age of Kali Yuga in this material world. I did not want to come. Just to answer your prayers, I have taken this form and come down. And now you are preaching Mayavad philosophy. So like that, he kept hitting Advaita Acharya. And Sita Thakurani, Advaita Acharya's wife, she actually fell at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And she said that, don't do this. He's an old Brahmana. He will die. Please don't hit him anymore. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that Advaita Acharya was smiling. And he was saying, now I have fulfilled my desire. My Lord has accepted me as his servant. And then slowly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to know that this was a pastime just because Advaita Acharya wanted him to accept him as a servant. Because who will beat who? It's only a master who will beat a servant. Obviously a servant will not beat a master. And that is exactly the position which Advaita Acharya wanted in the world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared just in answer of prayers of Advaita Acharya. In the same way, a couple of hundred years ago, Bhakti Vinod Thakur did the same prayers. So but when Bhakti Vinod Thakur was there, he was preaching very strongly. He was in fact the guru of Namahatta. He was spreading Krishna consciousness very strongly. But he saw that Sahajiyaism, Mayavad philosophy, all these upper sampradayas were very strongly prominent when Bhakti Vinod Thakur was also there in this world. So he realized that he himself preaching alone was not sufficient to ward off the effects of all these upper sampradayas which were permeating within the society. And therefore Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayed. And what were the prayers of Bhakti Vinod Thakur? Bhakti Vinod Thakur knew that this is not a scheduled time for the Lord to appear himself, because Bhakti Vinod Thakur is an expert in Shastras. So he realized that, my Lord, you have already appeared and gone 500 years ago. And now there is no other incarnation which will appear till Kalki Avatar comes in Kali Yuga. So what did he pray for? He then prayed that, okay, you will not appear right now because it's not the time. But you please send a person who is a ray of Vishnu to appear and to assist me in preaching their mission, in preaching the glories of Krishna consciousness. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayed like that, and again, how Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, the Lord reciprocates and appears and exactly fulfills the desires and prayers of his devotees. So in answer to the prayers of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the Lord sent a very illustrious son to him, and whose appearance day we are celebrating today. So we are doing half-day fasting also. It's Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day. So we will spend the next few minutes glorifying Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It is mentioned that on the appearance or disappearance day of an Acharya, it is very good to speak about the glories of Acharya, and it is especially very good to invoke their blessings through intense prayers, because they are very merciful on their appearance day. So we can pray to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur on this auspicious day, and we will try to absorb our consciousness by discussing a few glories of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had an illustrious disciple, first of all, like Srila Prabhupada himself, who is the founder Acharya of ISKCON, where all of us, you know, we all of us belong to ISKCON. So Srila Prabhupada himself is so powerful, he is an Acharya, he is the founder Acharya of ISKCON, which has met with tremendous success all over the world. And imagine the guru of such a powerful Acharya, what level of guru he will be. So Srila Prabhupada himself used to say about his Guru Maharaj. Many times Prabhupada was asked that, who is your guru? So Srila Prabhupada reacted in different ways when he was asked this question. Once he replied, what can I say about my Guru Maharaj? He was a Vaikuntha man. I don't have enough words to describe him. He was straight sent down by Krishna to actually preach like a lion. So Prabhupada used to refer to him as Simha Guru many times. So he was sent by Krishna himself to preach like a lion in this world. So what can I say about him? He is directly from Vaikuntha, Prabhupada used to say. Then Srila Prabhupada stopped speaking. He went into, because whenever Srila Prabhupada used to speak about his guru, he used to go into deep gratitude to his Guru Maharaj for saving him and also for empowering him to preach Krishna consciousness in the world. And once Srila Prabhupada, in the early days of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada himself, like today we are celebrating Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day, Srila Prabhupada was himself celebrating, wanted to celebrate Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day. And it was very early days of ISKCON. People did not know. It was in his fledgling society. So the devotees did not know how to celebrate all these appearance days of Vaishnava Acharyas. So Srila Prabhupada just declared on the previous day that tomorrow it is the appearance day of my Guru Maharaj. It's a very important and auspicious day for all of us. So we are going to celebrate his Vyas Puja tomorrow, or we are going to celebrate his appearance day tomorrow. And then, you know, no one knew what to do. So it was 10 o'clock in the morning the next day, almost 10:30, and Srila Prabhupada saw that nothing had happened. So Prabhupada said, what happened? You all did not cook any feast or anything like that? It's his appearance day. So devotees said, we didn't know how to celebrate and we didn't know what to do. So Srila Prabhupada realized that he has to now train his disciples in how to celebrate and how to give prominence to the previous acharyas. So to set an example, Srila Prabhupada said, okay, don't worry. I will show you how to celebrate the appearance day of all these Vaishnava acharyas. So Prabhupada went himself into the kitchen, and then at 10:30 or something, he started cooking. And he cooked a 13-course meal, a 13-course feast, prasadam feast, for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day. So Srila Prabhupada had so much love and devotion in his heart for his Guru Maharaj. And then, Srila Prabhupada again said that we are going to celebrate Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day, and the devotees thought, having experience from earlier celebrations, that Prabhupada is again going to cook a feast. But on that day, Srila Prabhupada cooked only one item. And that was just khichdi. And devotees were surprised, but they all sat down to honor the prasadam after the celebration. And even today, some of Prabhupada's disciples recollect, who were there at that time, that they had never tasted such a khichdi before. So when Prabhupada personally cooked that khichdi, all his love, all his devotion for his guru went into that khichdi. And that was what, you know, the devotees were tasting through the khichdi. So Prabhupada had different moods when it came to his Guru Maharaj. Once on the appearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of his Mataji disciples, she wanted to try out something for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So she made a halwa and she took it to Srila Prabhupada, and she first offered it to Prabhupada. She said that, look Prabhupada, I made this halwa. So Prabhupada saw and he thought it didn't look like halwa. Because this Mataji was a Westerner first of all, and you know, she did not know the Indian tradition of making halwa. So, and she wanted, you know how we try to experiment sometimes to make something new to please our guru. So she had tried some new recipe and it did not look like halwa at all. So Srila Prabhupada rejected it. Prabhupada said that, no, this doesn't look like halwa, I cannot have it. And that Mataji was so dejected. Imagine your offering is being rejected by your guru like this. So she was completely dejected and she was so depressed that I could not satisfy my guru and I could not make something which my guru could have as prasadam. So then what she did was, she took that halwa and she placed it in front of the picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And she started praying to him. She told him in her prayers that usually it is said that the grandfather is more merciful than the father. So my father has rejected me, my spiritual father has rejected this offering I gave him because it is not fit for his consumption, looks like. But you are grandfather and I have put efforts. I wanted to please him through this preparation. So you as my loving grandfather, you please accept this preparation. So she keeps that halwa in front of his photo, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's photo, and she was praying like this. And when devotee saw her praying like this, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so he goes and reports to Prabhupada. He says, Prabhupada Book, you did not accept the halwa, but now she has gone and she is praying to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur like this, that grandfathers are usually more loving and merciful than fathers, so you please accept. And immediately Prabhupada said, you call that Mataji and tell her to bring that halwa. And then Prabhupada took that halwa and he finished the whole thing, and he had more servings also of that halwa. Because Prabhupada was simply pleased by the activity, by the action of that Mataji, that she is actually going and praying in that mood to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that you are my grandfather and you are more merciful, and show this mercy by accepting this halwa. So this is an example Prabhupada was setting for us. So in the same way, you know, we have all our spiritual masters, but for us Srila Prabhupada is the grandfather. So we pray to Srila Prabhupada saying that you are our grandfather, you please be more, you all are more merciful, you are more loving than the father, so you please show that mercy to us. For most of us, Srila Prabhupada is our grandfather, so we also pray like that to Srila Prabhupada. And our spiritual master also will be immensely pleased if we pray like this to Srila Prabhupada. So like this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, and then in answer to his prayers, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared. It was the year 1874, and in the year 1874, it was February 6th, that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in this world as the fifth child of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it is said that there were lots of auspicious signs when he appeared in this world. One of the auspicious signs was as soon as Bhagavati Devi, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife, delivered Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the umbilical cord was actually wrapped around Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's body like a Brahmin thread. So already it was mentioned, it's mentioned by Acharyas that already he was born with these symptoms that he's going to become a great Brahmin, a great Vaishnava, because the umbilical cord was exactly draped in that fashion. And then many astrologers were called by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to actually calculate what his horoscope will be. So all the astrologers were astonished when they started calculating the horoscope of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and many of them concluded that this child is going to be extremely famous. He has all the 32 symptoms of a Mahapurusha written down in his horoscope. So he is going to be an extremely famous person, and he is going to achieve great things in this world, especially in devotion to Lord Krishna. All the astrologers had predicted that at his birth. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur's joy knew no bounds. He realized that Lord Vishnu or Krishna has answered his prayers by sending this ray of Vishnu to him. So he named Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This pastime happened in Jagannath Puri. At that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was posted in Jagannath Puri as the magistrate. So he was born in Jagannath Puri, and in Jagannath temple, there is a temple of Bimala Devi. So Bimala Devi is an expansion of Parvati, and there is a blessing that whatever Mahaprasad, whatever Prasad is like Bhoga is offered to Jagannath, the first Mahaprasad will go to Bimala Devi, and only then it will go out for distribution in that big hall market where Prasadam is distributed of Lord Jagannath. So Bimala Devi gets the first Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath, and therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur named his son as Bimala Prasad, that he is a Prasad of Bimala Devi that has come to us. So he named him like that. And once when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was only 6 months old, there was Rathyatra was happening, because he was born in February and Rathyatra usually happens in July. So Rathyatra was happening, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house was on the main road, the grand road where Rathyatra happens. Even today there is a Gaudiya Math over there, where we see the house, or it has been converted into a temple now. So surprisingly, all these three huge Rathkars which were rolling down the street, they came and stopped in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. And devotees kept trying, pushing, but almost for 3 days the Rathkar did not move at all from that place. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife, Bhagavati Devi, thought that this is such a good opportunity, because they even wanted to do the Anna Prashanam ceremony of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Since he was 6 months old, they wanted to do the first grain ceremony. So, and she was a magistrate's wife, so obviously everybody knew her, she was also famous. So she was allowed to take the child onto Jagannath's Rathkar. And as soon as she placed the child at Lord Jagannath's lotus feet, a garland fell from Jagannath's body, and it fell down and draped itself around the child, showing that, you know, this was such an auspicious sign. And right on the car, they performed the grain ceremony of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then as soon as Bhagavati Devi took the child off the cart started rolling very easily down the road. So this is a pastime which the Lord was performing just to give darshan to his, you know, the devotee who was still in a little child form. So this is one of the pastimes which shows that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was actually sent out by the Lord himself to perform great tasks in this world. And then when he was just 3 years old, once Bhakti Vinod Thakur had got ripe juicy mangoes from the market and he was about to offer it to Lord Krishna. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a playful 3-year-old child. So he took one of the mangoes and he started eating it. And then Bhakti Vinod Thakur gently rebuked him, like he reprimanded him, and he told him that you should not be eating the mango like this because it had not been offered to Krishna. We always eat what is offered to Krishna, isn't it? And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur felt so bad about himself. So imagine a 3-year-old child. He felt so bad that he took a vow that from today onwards I will never touch a mango in my life. And he upheld that vow till he left this world. Now we also, like, I'm speaking for myself, I also take so many vows, but they are vows written on water. Immediately, one day we take vow, after a few days we will be, you know, Aram Shur, it's called in Marathi. We will all be very enthusiastic to follow our vows, but after a few days the whole enthusiasm dies down and then we stop following that vow. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as a child he had taken that vow, but still he upheld the vow till the end of his life, when he passed away from this world. So here we actually learn from this example that how we should be particular. I was listening to a lecture in this regard and the Acharya was explaining that he was actually trying to show to us that how we should be particular in our life. Sometimes as devotees we take things lightly. We take the prasadam aspect lightly or we take other aspects of devotional life very lightly. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is showing by his example that how we have to be very particular about every aspect of devotional life. If we are light in our devotional service, the reciprocation will also be like that from Krishna. It will be very light reciprocation that we get. But following in his footsteps, we can at least learn that we also have to be intense when it comes to following certain some details of Krishna consciousness. And then he was sent to school. He started going to school and by the age of 7 years, he had already mastered all the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. So there are many people in the world who know all the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not just like a parrot who had memorized all the 700 verses. He knew all the translations also by heart. Every translation he knew of the Bhagavad Gita. In fact, I was just hearing a humorous anecdote in this matter that one devotee was there and he was preaching to some new people. And one day one of the boys came and told him that, oh, I met this guru and he has given me such powerful mantras to chant. So he started chanting those mantras. He said, I'll tell you what mantras that guru has given me to chant. And he started chanting those mantras in front of this devotee. And the devotee also started chanting with him. So this person, he was a new person, he was very surprised. This boy said that, how come you know these mantras? My guru gave them to me. So he said that they are actually shlokas from Bhagavad Gita. So that boy was surprised. He said, no, you know, because people have not even read Bhagavad Gita once fully. So he was surprised. He said, no, my guru made this mantra for me. I have not, it's not from the Bhagavad Gita. He has invented his own mantra. So then that this devotee explained that, no, these are all from the Bhagavad Gita only. And I know some shlokas, that's why I'm chanting with you. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew all the 700 verses along with the translations of every verse of the Bhagavad Gita. And
translations into Hindi.
Sorry,
you said translations into Bengali.
Maybe Bengali. Yeah. At that time, it was in Bengali, so maybe in Bengali.
He understood. Oh,
he understood the meaning of every word. And then he started going to school, and it is mentioned in the scriptures which are written about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that he was a great scholar in maths and astrology. He was extremely scholarly. So he used to study astrology in so much detail, and while he was studying astrology and astronomy, he actually wrote a book called Surya Siddhanta. Imagine, as a student he is writing a book on astrology, and he gave it to his teachers to read. And when the teachers read that book, they were all astonished. They said that a student who is still studying this subject matter can never produce such expertise in a book. So we can see that you are not an ordinary child. You have been blessed by the goddess Saraswati, who is the goddess of learning. And his teachers therefore entitled him with the title Siddhanta Saraswati. So Siddhartha Saraswati was a title which was given to him by his teachers, just looking at his expertise and looking at his proficiency in grasping on these matters of esoteric topics. So, and then he joined the Sanskrit school, it is explained, and he started studying Sanskrit. For 3 years he went to the school, and then he realized, because he was really a scholar in that area also. So once he would see everything, or once he would hear, and it is mentioned that he could memorize everything that was said by his teachers. So at home, it is mentioned in these books that he used to most of his time spend his time reading books which Bhaktivinoda Thakur had written or Narottam Das Thakur had written, all the previous Acharya's books. He was never found studying his subject matters which were his school subject matters, but yet he used to always talk. And somebody asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur that how come we don't see him studying hard, but still he's always, you know, such a scholar and he always talks his school. And that time Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that he listens attentively in school and once he has heard, he can remember everything. And that is why he need not spend more time on studying any more books in this school subject matters. So while Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a teenager, he was growing up nicely under Bhaktivinoda Thakur's care and attention as a nice devotee of the Lord. And there was a symposium which had been arranged, a 3-day symposium on Brahmanism and Vaishnavism. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was only a teenager at that time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was actually supposed to go. He was, because he was also very famous during his time. So he was invited to come and address the symposium from the Vaishnavas' point of view, like on behalf of the Vaishnavas. And he fell very sick, unfortunately, during that time. So he requested his son, because he could see how scholarly his son was and how much he had studied all the scriptures in detail. So he actually requested his son that you go and represent me, because I am not going to be able to go at all. And at this time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had already shifted from Jagannath Puri to Krishnanagar in Navadvip. And this debate was to take place in a place called Vidnapur. So he tells Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you go and represent the Vaishnavas and you go and fill in my absence because I can't come. So he goes over there and it was a 3-day session. So on the first day, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spends the entire day glorifying the Brahmins. And how Brahminism is such a good thing, what is the exalted position of Brahmins, how they are so special to be born as Brahmins in this world. So his first day entirely was spent on this topic. And the Brahmins were surprised because they thought he has come to represent Vaishnava side. So they thought, oh, you know, in Hindi we say, ye to apna hi aadmi hai. This is my man because he is representing all of us. And then on the second day, he actually started talking about who actually is a Brahmin. So what are the qualities which makes one a Brahmin? What are the qualifications required to make one a Brahmin? He started talking about that. On the second day, his whole focus was on that. And when the Brahmin started hearing this part of his speech, they started looking at each other because he was talking about who is qualified to be a Brahmin. And they started thinking, are we actually Brahmins? They started getting that doubt when they heard Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur talking like that. And then on the third day, he summarized both the aspects, like who is a Brahmin, who is qualified to be a Brahmin, and then who is a Vaishnava. And he spent that day glorifying Vaishnavas like anything. And he said that Vaishnavas are actually beyond the Varnashrama Dharma. So they are much higher than Brahmins because they are actually ones who have dedicated their lives to Kriya, you know, in devotion to Krishna. So lots of, we will not go into those technical aspects, but lots of points he gave on how Vaishnavism is superior to just merely being Brahmins. And that way nobody could argue against him. He had completely defeated the case of Brahmins, who were specially smartha Brahmins, following rules and regulations just for the sake of following those rituals. And there was a huge audience which had come to attend that. Because in those days it is mentioned that debates, all these, you know, sessions where some topics were spoken about from both sides, this time was like a popular form of entertainment for people. Like nowadays we go for movies, some people go for plays, or some people go for some theater, all these things, or some musical shows. But in those days, debates were very popular. So there was a huge audience which had come to attend this entire debate. And when the mob was completely, that audience was completely spellbound at the end of the debate. And then how in a music show, if some famous personality has come, everybody rushes to take autograph or something like that, or just to take a selfie or something. So in the same way, this huge audience started rushing on the stage just to touch Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's feet. And the police were gathered over there and they had to actually protect Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur because people were not leaving him only. So then what they did was, because obviously if every person comes and touches the feet, he would have been sitting there for days. There was such a big audience present over there. So what they did, they took a big like a barrel of water, and they asked Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to dip his feet in that water. And then from the back door they took Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur away, and then they told the entire audience that, look, here we have this water which has touched his lotus feet, please accept this water. And then that water was sprinkled on all the devotees, on all the audience who was present over there. So that is how he was very famous. This speech was so famous. And then there were many, when Bhakti Vinod Thakur was living in Navadvip, in Krishnanagar, his posting was in Krishnanagar, but he had made his residence in Godrumadvip. I'm sure many of us must have visited Godrumadvip, Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vinod Thakur's house, Suravi Kunj it's called. So he had made his house over there, and there were many prominent Vaishnava Acharyas who used to come and listen from him. And two of the most prominent acharyas who used to come and listen from him were Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur accepted him as his guru. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj accepted Bhakti Vinod Thakur as his guru. But they were both very famous personalities at that time, and they used to, because Bhakti Vinod Thakur used to preach regularly. He used to hold discourses of Chaitanya Charitamrita on Bhagavatam in his house, and these two prominent Babaji used to come and hear from him. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur saw that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was such an illustrious person, such a renunciate. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also used to sit in all these discourses which Bhakti Vinod Thakur used to give. And he was greatly influenced, because there used to be a discussion. These Babajis also used to contribute. And he was greatly influenced by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur could see that spark. So he actually encouraged his son that you must take initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached him in all humility. And he begged him that, can you please give me initiation? But Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj had actually decided that he will never accept disciples. So he says, no, no, I cannot give you initiation. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur kept begging. In the same way that the pastime had happened between Narottam Das Thakur and Loknath Goswami. So similarly, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj kept saying, no, I cannot give you initiation. So it was not that he was saying that out of his godliness or out of his pride. It was because he used to feel extremely humble from within, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He used to feel that I am not qualified to give anybody initiation. And he actually used to call Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur as Prabhu. My Prabhu, my Prabhu. He used to always address it like that. Because he could see that he was an illustrious child of an illustrious father. So he was also very determined. But Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur was also equally determined to accept him only as his spiritual master. So on repeated requests, then Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said that, I will have to ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And only if he approves, I will give you. So then, obviously, Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur started following up. Did you ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So 2-3 times he told him, no, I forgot. And then he requested, can you please go and ask? So the next day he again came and asked him, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was told by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj that, yes, I prayed, but I forgot to ask about this. He was just trying to ward off Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he did not want to give him initiation. And then ultimately he refused. He said that, no, I am not going to give you initiation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not indicate anything like that to me. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so dejected on being refused to be accepted as his disciple. So he told him that, now there is no point in me living. So I'm going to tie a stone around myself and I'm going to drown myself in Ganga. And he was actually about to do that. And seeing this determination of Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj agreed, and he then gave him initiation. And he was the only prominent disciple that he accepted. There was one more disciple, but Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the only prominent disciple of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And when Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj passed away from this world, many sadhus had assembled over there. So they were all fighting, because they knew Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was a prominent personality. And if we have this samadhi in our temple, then lots of people will come to have darshan of the samadhi, and that will be good revenue for a temple. So many sadhus were fighting that this samadhi should be in my temple, this samadhi should be in my temple. And one of the sadhus even mentioned that before Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj passed away, he was begging all the Vaishnavas that, after I pass away, please drag my body through the streets of Navadvip so that the dust of this holy land is smeared all over my body. So one of the sadhus started saying that, let us fulfill his final wish, let us drag his body throughout the streets of Navadvip. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur entered over here. And he said that my Guru Maharaj was an emblem of humility. Just out of his humility, he said that my body should be dragged. Does that mean that we treat his body like that? His body is not different from a spiritual person, so I am not going to allow his body to be mistreated like that. So he first of all wanted that off. And then that fight was happening, where the samadhi should be. So even the police had to gather because such a big fight erupted amongst all the sadhus. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur challenged all the sadhus. He said that you can claim his body and they, you know, put a samadhi in your temple, but first tell me that if any of only that person is qualified to take him into his temple and put the samadhi there, if you have not had association with opposite sex in the last 1 day. And no one raised their hand. He said, okay, last 1 month, last 1 year, and no one still raised their hand. None of the sadhus. So they were all bogus sadhus who were into illicit sex and having, you know, association with the opposite sex. And even the police were surprised because they were actually perplexed how to solve this problem. Such a big fight had erupted where the samadhi should be. But just with this one question, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually separated the impure from the pure. And then he personally took his Gurudev's body and he did the last samadhi rites in the way that is mentioned in the scriptures. Very lovingly he made the samadhi for his Guru Maharaj. So, and then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself started, you know, he had got the initiation from his Guru and he decided, Bhakti Vinod Thakur was imploring him that you should start preaching now. But he realized that he has to purify himself before he can actually go and give the message of Krishna consciousness to the world. So he decided that I'm going to chant 3 lakh names of Krishna every day. He took a vow that he will chant 1 billion names of Krishna before he can go out and preach. And he calculated that if he chants like Haridas Thakur, 192 rounds a day, which is 300,000 names of Krishna a day, it will take him 9 years to complete that vow. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made a small hut in Navadvip and he sat down inside that hut and he started his vow. Every day he would chant 300,000 names of Krishna. And he personally himself would cook. Very little time he would spend in cooking and eating, and all his time was spent in chanting the holy names of Krishna. And then, you know, because it was a small hut and we know how much it rains in Navadvip in the rainy season. So it used to leak, water used to come down from the hut. But he realized that he did not have time to go and repair the hut and do maintenance work for his hut and all. So he would just put an umbrella on him and he would continue chanting, just under the umbrella, sitting under the umbrella. That was his determination to execute his vow. And he did complete the 9 years of his vow. He did complete that vow and then he, you know, felt that, okay, now I can assist my father in his preaching mission. So he always gave credit to his spiritual master. When he started preaching also, he always gave credit to his spiritual master. In fact, he was asked many times that you are preaching so boldly, you travel extensively and you preach so much about the glories of Krishna. But how come your guru never preached? Gaur Kishordas Balaji Maharaj never preached. So on one occasion, he gave the reply. He said that my guru did not preach because my guru was engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra all the time. And because of his chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra so purely, he was purifying the whole world. He was making the whole world right and pure so that then when I go and preach, the message is accepted by everyone. So this is one explanation he gave and how he gave the credit back to his guru for any success that he was getting in his preaching. Another time he was asked this question that how come your guru never preached but you are going out and preaching so much? So that time they were all traveling in a boat and he said that however beautiful a boat may look, but the entire boat can move only because there is a motor present in the boat, in one corner of the boat. So he said that my Guru Maharaj was like that. He was that motor which is in the corner of the boat. So the boat will look illustrious, it will look oh, such a nice boat, it's going nice, so nicely on the river. And it will look as if the boat is, all the credit should go to the boat. But it's actually the motor which is empowering the boat to move on the river. My Guru was like that. He used to sit in one corner and he used to chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, but he was exactly like this motor in the boat. So the boat you can see is me who is moving, but it is actually my guru as the motor who is empowering me to teach. So like that he always used to give credit to his spiritual master. So he came to Calcutta to preach in 1918. He came to Calcutta to preach first of all and he realized when he was preaching. So at that time the Britishers were ruling India and he realized that it was very hard to get the message across. In fact, he used to give lectures. Sometimes some Britisher used to come and attend his lecture, it is said. And when he used to, as soon as he used to see a Britisher come and sit down for the class, he would immediately start preaching in English. And we all have, many of us, us must have read Brahma Samhita by Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur. Now, frankly, most of the Brahma Samhita translations went above my head because his English is so high level. So he used to preach in English whenever the Britishers used to come. And at the end of the session, these Britishers used to go and request his disciples, all these other disciples who were sitting, that can you please tell him to speak English which he can understand. So even the Britishers, it was hard for them to understand Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's English. And the disciples actually went and told this, that they are saying that can you speak at their level. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that I am the guru. I cannot come down to the level of the disciple. The disciple has to raise his level so that he can understand me. So it was like a, you know, an example he was given how a guru should not be brought down, but we have to raise our level to understand the guru's message. So during this preaching, he realized that unless he, because he was a brahmachari, till all these years he had always been a brahmachari. So he realized that unless he takes sannyas, people are not going to take him seriously. Same like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had realized during this time. So, but when he was there in Calcutta, there was no prominent acharya around him from whom he could take sannyas. And during his travels to South India, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had studied the scriptures of the Sri Sampradaya very carefully. And according to Ramanujacharya, there was one section in the scriptures which said that if there is no one else to give you sannyas, you can do it yourself in front of a photo. So that is what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did. He kept his Guru Maharaj's photo, Gaurakishordas Mahaji Maharaj's photo, and then he accepted sannyas in front of that photo. And then he started preaching all over the world. So it is said that he traveled extensively. He had a small group of people and he started traveling extensively all over India. And then he realized that he should have an umbrella, because this was like freelance preaching that was happening. But he realized that he should establish an organization which will then allow him to preach. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had already established an organization which had sort of died down. So he re-established that organization and he gave it the name Gaudiya Math. So under the umbrella of Gaudiya Math, he established around 64 temples all over the world. And then in 1922, so he preached like this, and then in 1922 was the illustrious meeting between Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada was a very strong follower of Gandhi at that time. He was very influenced by Gandhi. So he had not even accepted graduation because it was a British university and he did not want that graduation, anything to do with British or Britishers. So he did not accept graduation. And he had started working at that time. And one of his friends was there called Narendra, who insisted on to Srila Prabhupada, you please come and meet this guru who has come to Calcutta. He's come to, I think, a place called Ulta Ganga, and let's go and meet him. But Prabhupada was also always very wary of meeting gurus. Because since his childhood, his father had brought so many sadhus home, and his father used to feed these sadhus, and the only blessing his father used to ask from these sadhus was that please bless my child, that he becomes a very good devotee of Radharani. But later on, Srila Prabhupada would find those sadhus sitting in the corner of the street and smoking meedi. So Prabhupada did not have too much faith in all these sadhus. So he kept telling this friend that, no, I don't want to come and meet any sadhu. I've met too many in my life. I don't have too much faith in them. But because of Narendra's insistence, Srila Prabhupada agreed to go. And then as soon as he paid obeisances, he and Narendra, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's lecture was already going on. And soon as he paid obeisances and he sat down, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur stopped his discourse. He looked at Srila Prabhupada and he said that young people, young educated people like you should actually take up the message of Krishna consciousness and preach it in the Western world in the English language. And because Prabhupada was so much influenced by Gandhiji at that time, so Prabhupada challenged him. Prabhupada said that, why are you talking about preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya right now? The urgency right now is for India to gain freedom. That is what is the need of the moment. And you are talking about preaching the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him that the most urgent moment right now, the urgency in this world right now, is the lack of Krishna consciousness. And that is what is the most desired need of people in this world. So Krishna, everything else, any political situation may keep changing, and it is going to keep changing in this material world. So all political situations can wait, but Krishna consciousness and the spreading of Krishna consciousness cannot wait at all. And Prabhupada says, sometimes he used to laugh and tell his disciples, because Prabhupada was very good in debating. And we can see from the books Prabhupada has written and all the lectures Prabhupada has given, very strong in his arguments. So it was usually very difficult to defeat Prabhupada in debates. But Prabhupada said that on that particular day, I was defeated by my Guru Maharaj. And I'm so happy that I was defeated by my Guru Maharaj. So in that particular instance itself, Srila Prabhupada accepted Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as his Guru. So in 1922 was the first meeting, and then in 1933, Prabhupada actually accepted initiation from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was preaching. In fact, he also wanted his Krishna consciousness to spread over the all over the world. So he sent few of his disciples to Europe. He sent one of his prominent sannyasi even to London. And that sannyasi tried to preach in London. And anytime, you know, they used to ask, he used to say, oh, you have to follow the four regulative principles. And people used to just reject. He used to say, what? How can we give up meat eating? How can we give up illicit sex? So everybody used to reject. And that sannyasi actually wrote back to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he told him that no one is ready to accept because they can't follow the four regulative principles. So there was not much success which the sannyasi could meet with when he was preaching in London. There were a few people who took initiation from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who came from London to India to take initiation. But that was it. There was not much that could happen. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I think in 1935, he was in Jagannath Puri, and he was very famous by that time. So his Vyas Puja was being celebrated. It was again the month of February, and his Vyas Puja was being celebrated, and it was going to be a huge celebration. And Srila Prabhupada knew. So Srila Prabhupada actually wrote a poem for Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he sent it across to Jagannath Puri to be read in glorification of Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. And we know the two famous lines, that impersonal is transient, thou hast proved. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast removed. And these two lines from the poem touched Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's heart. And he kept telling his disciples that this young Abhay has actually understood what my heart is and what is the essence of what I've come to preach. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. That means that the Krishna has a form. That is what you have proved. You have established that irrevocably. And impersonal calamity, Maya and philosophy, you have removed. So he was so happy. And then he told his disciples that whatever this boy writes, publish it without editing. He's going to be a big writer one day. So just publish whatever he writes, because he knows how to capture the essence of things. And then in the same year, he went to Radhapur. I think for his Kartik Parikrama he had gone. And Prabhupada took the opportunity to go and meet Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur during the Kartik Parikrama at Radhapur. And there Prabhupada was talking to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur revealed his heart to Srila Prabhupada. He said that now I'm becoming an old man, I'm going to leave. But I can see that already my disciples are fighting, because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had established more than 64 temples, and that too prominent Gaudiya monks all over India. And he said, I can see they are all fighting which room belongs to whom. So they are all fighting for this matter rather than actually thinking on how to spread Krishna consciousness in my absence. And he said that today, he said, remember, there's going to be a fire after I leave. And he said, today if I have the choice, I would actually go and sell all these marble temples. I would sell all this marble and I would utilize that money to print books to spread Krishna consciousness. And then he gave Srila Prabhupada the second most important instruction. The first was to go to West and preach, and the second instruction was given to Srila Prabhupada on the banks of Radhapur. He said that if you ever get money, print books. Because that is how Krishna consciousness will spread in the world. That is the need of the hour. I'm not able to do that. My disciples are just fighting over rooms, which room and which room is the best room and which room I should get. But you please do that. If you get money, print books and spread Krishna consciousness. And then in 1936, towards the end of 1936, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's health started failing. And one of the doctors who visited him told him, he said, your problem is that you speak too much. So if you stop speaking, your health will little bit improve. But don't, you know, go and speak. Your health is not good, but still you're speaking too much. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied to him. He said that if I die preaching the message of Krishna consciousness, that is a much glorious death rather than being quiet and allowing my health to recover. So So that was his mood, and that was Srila Prabhupada's mood also, which Prabhupada had imbibed from his guru. Preach till the last breath. So I don't know if any of you all have seen the CD, I think it's called The Final Moments or something like that. In which if you see, Srila Prabhupada is like a stick, he's like a skeleton. There's absolutely no muscle or fat, the skin and bone, only that much is there of Srila Prabhupada. But we still see he's lying on the bed and he's dictating into the dictaphone. He's still translating Srimad Bhagavatam, Death Canto. So same mood, he has imbibed from his guru. Even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has that mood. That better I die preaching as a soldier in the battle of Krishna consciousness, rather than, you know, just take care of my health and not utilize my tongue to spread the glories of Krishna consciousness. So that was in December, and Prabhupada had sent a letter. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left the world, I think, on the 1st of Jan. And Prabhupada, a few days before, had sent a letter to him. Because Srila Prabhupada wanted some final instructions before his guru leaves the world. So he had sent a letter to him, and he said that you have so many illustrious sannyasis, so many brahmacharis who are carrying on the mission. I am merely a grahastha who is engaged in my household affairs and who is just looking after how to keep, you know, my household going and working like a normal grahastha outside. So what should I do, Guru Maharaj? What are your instructions for me? What should be my direction in life? And at that time, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied to his letter, and same instruction was reiterated to him, that you please go to the West and utilize your knowledge of English language to preach the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So then Srila Prabhupada received that letter, and it, you know, it got established in his heart that yes, this is the message of my Guru Maharaj, and I have to spread the message of Krishna consciousness in this world. And few days after that, on the 1st of January, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur departed from this world. So these are few pastimes, it's time up, we'll stop the class here. But yes, it is very important that we pray on this glorious day, like we mentioned earlier, for the blessings of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that we also imbibe a little bit of the intensity which he had in his heart for Krishna consciousness and for following the details of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Did anyone have any comments, corrections, questions?
Where is Samadhi of Bhagavad Gita? Samadhi.
I think it's in Navadi, but I don't know exactly. Anybody else?
Samadhi was actually was in Navadi, he left his body, and it was placed there in Samadhi, in Navadi. And the Ganges rose, and later on, Bhakti Saraswati Thakur made that arrangement, the whole Samadhi actually was dug out, and including his body and everything, and it was put into a Sri Chaitanya Math in Mayapur now. So the same Samadhi is in
I saw a big Samadhi in Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan.
I think that must be the Pushpa Samadhi. Any other
questions? Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, you said about God, how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took his initiation from Gaurakishore Das Babaji, like as a picture.
Sannyas.
His sannyas initiation. Whereas we as devotees condescend upon ritual practices. So isn't it act as a bit of dichotomy that here we look condescend upon the ritual practice, whereas one of our acharyas, prominent acharyas in our movement, has done a similar practice. So would you like to contemplate over this?
In fact, I got this question.
What is the question?
The question is that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took sannyas in front of a picture of his Guru Maharaj. So as devotees, we don't actually vouch for that fact, because in fact, you know, Ritviks also do that. They take initiation by keeping Srila Prabhupada present over there. So then how do we understand this fact that one of the acharyas has done such a thing in the past? So I myself got that question from Ji when I was reading about how he took sannyas. So the first thing which is mentioned over there is that he was in Calcutta at that time. He wasn't in Navadvip. And the need of the hour was that he takes up sannyas so that he can continue preaching. And obviously most of the sadhus at that time used to live in holy places. So they were either in Vrindavan or they were in Mayapur. So he realized that there is no one around who can give him sannyas initiation. And therefore as the need of the hour, he realized that he needs to take sannyas. And he did not find anyone more qualified than his own guru giving him sannyas. So it is one aspect of his you know, intrinsic faith in his guru, like that strong deep faith that he had in his guru to give him sannyas. That is one aspect which made him do that, but he did not do it whimsically. He actually followed whatever procedure was mentioned in the scriptures by Ramanujacharya. And then he followed that exact steps in the ceremony, and he took initiation like that. But I do know that there is actually a small lecture by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, his name is Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. In fact, I read the title, that why Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur accepted sannyas in front of the photo of his guru. But I could not get time to listen to that lecture, so that will shed some more light on this aspect. But from what I understood was the need of the hour, because he was in Calcutta, it was the need of the hour that he takes sannyas quickly. So he did it in front of his guru, and it was his strong faith that there is no one better qualified than his guru to give him sannyas. Any other questions or comments?
If there is a time, if you can explain how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur introduced the Yukta Vairagya concept in the using everything in Krishna consciousness and renouncing it.
Very nice question, Guruji. In fact, he was the exemplary guru who actually brought about this principle, which Rupa Goswami has enunciated in his books about the principle of Yukta Vairagya. So it is mentioned that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to utilize everything in Krishna's service, and that is the mood which we see in Srila Prabhupada's life also. So we know the famous pastime where Srila Prabhupada, when somebody showed a Mayavadi's picture to Srila Prabhupada, where the Mayavadi is being offered money and the Mayavadi is rejecting it, saying that no, I cannot accept money. And then Srila Prabhupada was shown that picture, and it had made the headlines in fact. And Srila Prabhupada said that, can you please take a picture of me, someone offering me money, and I am taking like this. Because Srila Prabhupada said that we know how to utilize everything in Krishna's service. In fact, every penny that is given to me, I will build nice temples, I will print books, I will try to spread the message of Krishna consciousness. And this is what Prabhupada had imbibed from actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was actually a very modern guru. He used to utilize whatever was prevalent at that time in the service of Krishna. And one lecture I was hearing, it was mentioned that even when he used to go to, sometimes go to Radhapur. And we have to remember that the setting in which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was preaching was a British setting. The Britishers were ruling India at that time. And he wanted to actually, the message of Krishna consciousness to somewhat penetrate the Britishers also. So he didn't want to look very different and just one of those Babaji's who is very renunciate, and then the Britishers don't even accept these things. So therefore he used to sometimes, there was, I don't know which car, maybe a Cadillac or whatever, a Rolls Royce. He used to go in that car to sometimes to Radhapur, and he used to wear sannyas clothes, but he would wear a big jacket on top of it and like a turban and all. So we have seen even some videos and all which Bhakti Charu Maharaj has made. We see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur doing all these things. And I, what I understood from the lecture was that it was mainly because he did not want to look very different. So he knew that, external clothes anyway don't matter. But he wanted to dress up like that so that there is some acceptance which the Britishers give him. And that way he will be able to spread the message to them, to the Britishers. So he was the emblem of Yukta Vairagya. Even at that time, he was sometimes criticized that how can you do like that? Because obviously, it's, in those days, all these externals that used to matter a lot. Especially to the Babaji's and to all these sadhus living near Radhapur. But still he did not care, because in his heart he was very clear why he is doing all these things. So same mood like we see in Srila Prabhupada, how to utilize everything in Krishna's service. Yes.
Actually,
Prabhupada
used to say that met Gaura Kishore Das Babaji and took initiation while he was alive. And today the difference between the priests, they can't use that because he has been alive. And Prabhupada, the Vikrits, they want to take initiation from Prabhupada when they have never met him, they have never seen him. I mean, he was not alive at the moment when they want to get initiation. So that's a big difference.
Yeah. He had the permission of Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and then only he took initiation from him. So, good points, Madhuri. Thank you. We'll end the class here. It's going to be Grantha, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki
Jai!
Shrila Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur Maharaj,
Ki Jai!
Ki Jai!
Hari Bol!